Morning. Today's Daf Nidah is Daf Vav. We are on Hey Amud Beis. We're starting with the words Gufa today. The Gemara continues its discussion regarding a Nidah and a Tumah of her Tumah of Meis Leis. We know that a woman, when she has discharged blood, so she becomes a Nidah. That's our Masechta. That's really the beginning of our Masechta as well. The question becomes, is she Tumah at an earlier period in time? The answer is yes, really, meaning before the blood comes out, it goes into the canal, and once the blood leaves the uterus and goes into the canal, she's already a tumas nida. Is there any time period in which the blood just remains in the canal for some period in time before it actually emerges out of her body, which would mean then that her tuma would go back retroactively? So machlokus, major machlokus amongst the tanaim. So the position of Shammai is no, it does not go back at all. Dain shaitan, that's the position of Shammai. Hillel, on the other hand, says no, it goes back. And how far back does it go? The last time she did internal examination. And then, the Shita of the Chacham. The Shita of the Chacham is that we do move it back, but we move it back 24 hours. That's the Me'es Leis. 24 hours seems to be somewhat of an arbitrary period of time, as we already pointed out. The Gemara itself wondered where exactly does 24 hours come from. The Gemara gives an explanation that takes us back a couple days ago, where the Gemara tried to wrap its head around this idea of what exactly is 24 hours. But that's the halacha. The halacha is it goes back 24 hours. As far as now moving back her status of being a nida 24 hours. So what we're going to basically do now for today is we're going to just discuss scope. And that is, how much of a nida is she going to be for the last 24 hours? So that means that from the time that she actually has a visualization of her discharge, she sees the discharge coming out. So now that means that we're going to move the clock back 24 hours. Everything retroactive 24 hours ago is going to be, she's going to be considered a nida. Anything she comes into contact with now is going to become tummy retroactive from the time that she sees the discharge of blood. And to what degree now are we saying that she is a nida now moving back 24 hours ago? So that's going to be the discussion of our day today. It'll be the entirety of today's daf. We're going to go back to a statement of Ze'iri, Lema Misaye Lezir. I'm moving back just a little bit, but just moving to the beginning of the sugya, so we are totally grounded in the Gemara. Ze'iri says, Me'esle Shemanita Oste Mishka Vamosha L'tame Adon L'tame Begadnim. So the statement of Ze'iri is that the Me'esle of Nida, the 24-hour period, retroactive period, is going to be such in which we're going to treat it like a full-fledged Nida. Now again, as I pointed out yesterday, when a woman is a nida with tumas nida, so what degree of tumah is she? She's an avatumah, that's a given. She's metame mishkav umoshav. Anything she sits on is going to be tumah to the same degree that she's tumah. Furthermore, when somebody else comes into contact, not with her, for sure you're going to become tummy. But with the bed that she sits on, or the chair that she sits on, so the halacha is that person who comes into contact with the chair or the bed is going to be tummy. What degree of tumma? That person who comes into contact with it is going to be a rishon, meaning the bed is an av, the chair is an av, the person touching it is a rishon. And not only is the person going to be tummy, but the clothing that the person's wearing is going to be tummy as well, meaning it's metame adam, ubigadim. It's going to be matam of the clothing and the person. And what Ze'iri is teaching us is that when you move back retroactively 24 hours, it's those retroactive 24 hours, same degree of tumma. That bed that she slept on last night is going to be retroactively a avatumma. Somebody touching that bed is going to become a rishon tumma. That person and his clothing are going to become a. Now, michti. Now, let's continue in the Gemara. Hai mita davashem bodas lishas. So the Gemara now is going to get stuck on a technical question, but it's an important technical question. And that is, it's a suffix, right? Meaning, we don't know about these last 24 hours. It's a cheshash de rabbanan. It's a suffix in terms of whether or not she saw. So we are looking at a suffix, and a suffix tama berishos hayachid is going to be tummy. A suffix tama berishos harabim is going to be tahor. But as we learned, the paradigm of all that is a sota. And as we learned, when it comes to a sota, the only time that we're following the paradigm of the sota is where the person in question has an intellect. If the person in question, or the item in question, let's say better, if the item in question doesn't have intellect, i.e. it's an inanimate object, so then we're not going to follow the rules of sota. So the Gemara says, so over here we're talking about a bed. A bed doesn't have dasli shaol. The chol davar shein bo dasli shaol is feiko tahor. So tirgam aziri bish chavroseha no so bemita. Dahavilei yad chavroseha. So the Gemara's response is, okay, you're right. Of course you're right. A bed is an inanimate object. But we're describing a scenario in which the bed was being carried with her, meaning that the bed is an extension of her. It's a yad of the nida, in that the bed is being carried in together with her. Okay, that's an ukimta. Obviously, it's circumstantial. But the Gemara says we could say something more fundamental. Rabbi Yochanan says we could say much more fundamentally. When we're looking at this criteria of Yeshbo Das Lishal, it does not mean that the question has to be on the person. As long as there's a person's involvement in the question, that's enough for Das Lishal. If the person touched the bed, and even though the question of tum is on the bed, not on the person, as long as there was a person's involvement, that's enough of a criteria of Das Lishal, where we're now going to follow the rules of Sota, in that if it's Rishus HaYachid, it's going to be tum, and if Rishus HaRam, it's going to be tahor. Good. That's the rule of Rav Yochanan. Gufam Rav Yochanan Safik Tumah Hababi De Adam Mishana La Afilu Bekli Hamurach Agabe Karka Kimishesh Bo Das Lishal. The Gemara reviews Rav Yochanan's statement because the Gemara wants to set it up for a question. Question comes from the following Meisvei. The Gemara challenges from the following Braisa. Hayim Asate Batalis Vataros Vatumais Batsidom. Okay. So the Braisa over here is going to be describing a couple scenarios. Scenario number one is you're putting on your talis. Right, you know, in the morning, you put on your talis, you fling the sisters behind you, and you may whip somebody in the face. Okay, what's the best thing to do? First of all, look around before putting on the talis. That's and number two, if you whip someone in the face, so apologize. So the okay, right. I provide common sense in addition to some learning. So anyway, so the. So over here, the scenario of the Braisa is that while you're being Mesatif in your talis, so there happens to be Tum and Tahara surrounding you, on your side. The Taurus of Tumas Lamala Mirosho. Or another scenario is that you have Tum and Tahara above you. Now, Safik Naga, Safik Lo Naga. So you are unclear as to whether or not you came into contact. You're not sure. What's the Halacha Tahar? The Halacha is that you're Tahar, meaning it's a case of Safik and therefore you're Tahar. V'im E'efshar Ela'im Ke Naga Tame. Now, if the likelihood is, so I want to say a little bit stronger. If, watch this. If the strong likelihood is, there, I said it stronger. Okay, that's good. If the strong likelihood is, it's, right, if the only way that this results is that you came into contact with it, so then you're going to be tummy. All right. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Omer Lo Shana Vishonem. Rav Shimon Gamliel has a fascinating viewpoint. Now again, let's just paint the scenario. You're putting on your talus, there's tumah around you, and while you're whipping the talus around your head, you may have come into contact with it. And the talus may have come into contact with the tumah. And therefore the talus is, well, it depends. If it's a safek, the talus is going to be tahor. And if it is vadai, or karav levadai, talus is going to be tameh. Now, you don't know if you came into contact with it, because obviously while you're wrapping the talus around your head, the talus is covering your eyes, you can't see, and so Rav Shimon Gamliel says, you know what? Do it again. Really interesting. Do it again. Let's see what happens. Meaning, if I repeat the circumstance, so isn't the result of the second time going to be a mimic of the first time? Now, hopefully what you're thinking is not necessarily. Right, not necessarily. Meaning, even if you try to replicate that which you did, it's not going to be exactly the same. So, Omrim lo shana v'shoneh. Amru lo, so they said Rav Shimon Gamliel, ein shonim b'taharos. So they said to Rav Shimon Gamliel, no, you don't repeat by taharas. Meaning, just repeating the action and seeing what results the second time you do it is not necessarily going to reflect what happened the first time. In any event, as far as the side discussion of can I repeat, can I not repeat, which is an interesting discussion in of itself, we, of course, are going to focus on the main point that we're discussing, which is Hasafik Tumah Babi De Adamhu. So the Gemara says, now this is Safik Tumah, correct? Yes, sure, it's Safik Tumah. Now, the question is on the talus. But who's holding the talus? A person. So you're telling me that in order to hit the criteria of the paradigm of Sota, you don't need the question to be on the person. As long as the question is on an item being manipulated by a person, that's enough. Well, you have that over here. So even though the question is on the talus, but the talus right now is being held by a person. So what should we be looking at? We should be looking at a classic case of Safik Tuma Berusha Sayachid, and therefore should be Tame. So the Gemara says, Bar Mine Dahi. Okay, let's leave this brace out of discussion. The Tana Ravoshia Berusha Sayachid Sveko Tame, Berusha Rabim Tahor. So the Gemara says, look, that Braisa, it's not a question. Why? Because we have a statement by Rav Oshia modifying that Braisa and telling us that exactly what we expected. If this event were to have occurred in a Rosh Hashanah Yachid, Safek Tameh, because it does in fact follow the paradigm of Sota. If it happened in a Rosh Hashanah Rabim, Sveiko Tahor. So the truth of the matter is that you don't see it in the Braisa, but once you learn Rav Oshia's modification, then it fits in perfectly to what we know. Gufa, we're continuing in the Gemara, we're towards the bottom of Hamad Beis. No, the person does not. The person can only become tummy from an avatama. A person cannot become tummy from a rishon. The question only is revolving the talus itself. Gufa, Amar Ziri, Meisle Shemanida, Osimishka Vamosha, Latame Adam, Latame Begadim. We're going to go back to the statement of Ziri. Ziri taught us, this is where we started this morning, and now we are returning back to the statement of Ziri, and that is a 24-hour retroactive period of tumma that the rabbis imposed upon a nida. Is going to be tummy to the full degree of tuma of a nida. Now, which the Gemara now comments on the statement of Ziri. Ini, the Gemara says, I'm not sure if that's true. So when Avimi comes in from a particular location, so he brings the following brisa, and his hand the brisa reads like this. It's a really short brisa. But it's speaking to our topic. Mishkava umoshava kimaga. The 24-hour retroactive period of Anida, so her Mishkav and her Moshav are going to be like her Maga. Now, aside from translating the words of the Braisa, what does the Braisa actually mean? My love, so the Gemara now is conjecturing that Mag'a lamatame Adam. Af mishkava lo metame adam. Here's what we think the brisa means. Nida touches an item. So the nida obviously is an avatama. The item now is tame. But the item is what? The item is a rishon. So so her maga, meaning we don't mean something we don't mean her contact. We mean something she came into contact with. So if I touch something that she touched, I don't become tame. Whatever she touches is a rishon. If I go ahead and touch it, I'm not touching an av. I'm therefore not tame. And what we think now is that the Bryce is saying is that the mishkav and moshav, not current, but of the retroactive 24 hours, is going to be of the same status, i.e., it won't be metame adam. That's what we think the Bryce means. Now, you could give a different interpretation on the Bryce, and not only can you, in fact, we will. But right now, that's what the Gemara thinks the Bryce means. Amar Rava V'Tizbar Rabba says, that doesn't make sense. The conclusion doesn't make sense. Kavachomer Hu, let's talk about this logically. Umakli Cheres HaMukav Tzamid Psil. Now, when we're talking about an earthenware jug that is sealed with a lid on top. So, Hanita Ba'ol HaMeis. Now, it happens to be that this is an exception to the rules of Tuma. Generally in Tuma, when there is a mace in the room, anything that shares the room, shares the same room and shares the same roof, is going to be Tamei. So if there's human remains in this room and somebody's in this room, that person's tummy. If there's human remains in this room and there's a kli in the room, the kli is going to be tummy. That's tumas ohel. However, exception to the rule, a sealed earthenware jug or any kli, any earthenware kli that is sealed. And the only way it becomes tummy is only through the interior airspace. And so therefore, as long as it's sealed, it remains impervious to tumah. So, now, here are the givens. The givens are that I know that an earthenware jug is not going to become tameh in an olam eis. I also know that a retroactive 24-hour tuma nida who picks up the earthenware jug is going to make it tameh. Now, how do I know that? How is that a given? So, stay tuned because we're going to have a braisa that's going to teach us that halacha. So, those are the two givens. So, given that these two facts, the earthenware jug is not going to become tamei through olam eis. Fact. An earthenware jug is going to be tamei if it was carried by a nida, even in the 24-hour retroactive period. So now, mishkav asamosha sheinu nitzom be'olam eis. If I have a bed or if I have a chair that's in an olam eis, it becomes tamei. So eino din sheinu nitzom be'meis leisha benida. So for sure it's not going to be saved by the nida, the 24-hour period of the nida. Okay, so basically, kal v'chomer. If we're saying that an earthenware jug, which is impervious to Tumas Oel Mace, is yet going to be affected by the 24-hour period of Anida, so Mishkav Moshav, which is not impervious to Oel Meis, is for sure going to be affected by the 24-hour retroactive period of Anida. Okay, I know that's a big sentence, but once you see the logic side by side, it's a very strong point. So the Gemara says, "Va'avim imibechuzay masisa kamar." Yeah, but what about the brisa? Did you not forget about the brisa? So, "Ema mishkava moshava kimaga atzma ma maga atzma metame adam latame begadim af mishkava moshava metame adam latame begadim." So the Gemara says, "Okay, we're, as far as the brisa is concerned, we're now going to reinterpret the brisa." And the correct shot in the brisa is like this: the mishkava moshav of the need of the last 24 hours is like coming into contact with her. It's no different than coming into contact with her when you come into contact with an actual Nida. So you're Tamei, and not only are you Tamei, but Tamei Adam u'big Adim. You're Tamei, your clothing is Tamei. So the same thing is true with the Mishkav Moshav of a Nida of the last 24 hours. Meaning if she slept on the bed last night, and she discovers her Nida this morning, so that bed now falls under the category of Mishkav Moshav of the last 24 hours, and therefore a person touches it is going to be Tamei Adam, Ubigadim. He's Tamei, and his clothing is going to be Tamei as well. Okay, so that is the correct understanding of the Braisa. And so now everything works out. Tanya Kavase de Rava, and now what the Gemara is going to do is support Rava based on a Braisa. And by the way, we're not only supporting Rava, we're also supporting Ziri right now. Meaning that this Kavachomer that was given to us, and the statement of Ziri, of the Meis Leis of Venida, all is going to be encoded and taught to us in the Braisa. Now, the Braisa is going to basically do a side-by-side comparison of a woman who's a Nida versus a woman who is a Roe Kesem, who has seen just a stain on her clothing. Now, both women are Nidos. However, there's a major fundamental difference. Whereas if the woman had a Re'iyah, meaning she saw the discharge coming out of her body with a Hargasha, I know the Braisa doesn't describe that, with the Hargasha, but let's just assume that's generally speaking how it works, but she actually sees a discharge coming out of her body. So not only is she a Nida, but Bivado, she's a Nida, meaning we know for sure she's a Nida. And her Nida starts at the time when the blood comes out. Again, the 24-hour retroactive period is what we're discussing, but that is a Roa Dam, as opposed to a Roa Kesem. The only thing she discovered was the stain of blood on her clothing or on her body. So she's also a Nida, not Midaraisa, only Midarabanam, but still she's a Nida. She didn't actually see the blood coming out. She didn't experience the Hargasha. But still, Roa Kesem is going to be considered a Nida. Fine, because the likelihood is that the blood came out of her. If there is something else to blame the blood on, to account for the blood being there, so that's what's called Talia, and we're going to be discussing that later in the Masechta. In the meantime, however, we are now just putting these two side by side and speaking out practical differences between them, a number of them. So, number one, a woman who saw the blood coming out of her, so she's going to be Tamei retroactively the last 24 hours. Umahi mitama, and in this 24-hour retroactive period, where is she going to be Mitamei? Mishkavos umoshavos. She'll be Mitamei Mishkav umoshav. Now, the truth of the matter is that we could wrap it up and we can go home. Not really. We got a daf to do. But in other words, the point has just been made. The Bryce is speaking it out to the idea that the 24-hour retroactive period is going to be Mitamei Mishkav umoshav, which is what Ziri taught us and which is what Rava taught us. Fine. Ochlin Amashkin, she's also going to be Mitamei Ochlin Amashkin in the last 24 hours. And as far as a sealed earthenware jug, she's going to be Mitamei that as well. By the way, this is where, right, remember the Kal V'chomer that we had on the bottom of the previous Amud? Where Rava said, clearly, categorically, oh, if a woman were to handle an earthenware jug, even though it's sealed, she's going to be Mitamei it. This is the Braisa that actually taught him this halacha. This is it. Right? We mentioned the bottom of the previous Amud, it's a given. This is where the given comes from. The Kli Cheres, Amukav Samit Psil, a sealed earthenware jug, if she were to handle it, she's going to be Mitamei it. How is she going to be Mitamei? Why is she going to be Mitamei? Hold that question. I'm going to come back to it. And also, she's not going to be Mekakal her minion. This takes us back to Erchin. Remember in the early stages of Masechta Erchin, I think it was the first parak, it might have been the second parak, either way. Now I'm thinking second parak. Okay, anyway. I'll let myself play with my memory a little bit later on. In any event, there the Gemara talked about a woman who was a little bit lost in terms of whether she was a Nida or whether she was during her Yemei Nida or Yemei Ziva. And so she has to wait a requisite number of days. We talked about that in Erchin. And then the next time she sees, she's going to start her opening day of Nida, her Pesach Nida. With that stated, so if she actually saw the blood coming out, so then obviously this can serve as day one of her Nida. So Eina Mikul Kalos Leminyana. It doesn't ruin her days, because now she knows definitively when her Pesach is. Veina Matame Esbo Alala Mafreya. If she had relations with her husband within the last 24 hours, is her husband going to be considered a Boal Nida? And there is a tuma called Boal Nida, a man who has relations with a Nida, aside from there being an Isser, Kares, involved in that act, there is also tuma. The tuma is Boal Nida. So is there going to be a tumas Boal Nida for the retroactive 24 hours, for the last 24 hours? Says the Braisa, no, there's not. And Rabbi Kiva Omer Matamas Boal, and Rabbi Kiva disagrees on this point. Okay, the Eina Mona Ela Mishasha Rasa. As far as counting, she counts from the day that she saw. Okay, these are all the halachas that we have regarding a woman who had an actual Re'iyah. Okay, the next half of the Braisa, we're now going to contrast it to a woman who is Roeh Kesem. She didn't see the blood discharging out of her body, she's just simply discovered blood on her clothing or on her body subsequently. Let's do the second half of the Braisa. HaRoeh Kesem Etam LaMafreya. A Roeh Kesem also is going to go back retroactive. Now, what's the retroactivity that she's going to go back to? It's not going to be 24 hours. How far back is she going to go to? Last time she laundered the clothing. So, lemafrei, amai metame. And now, what is she going to be metame? Ochlan mashkin. So, she will be metame, ochlan mashkin, mishkavos and moshavos. Good. So, the retroactive tuma now is going to affect food, drink, mishkav, moshav, her bed, her chair. Kli cheres amukav tzamid psil. It's also going to be metame, a seal jug. Now here, it's not going to help in terms of her Pesach. Meaning, if she was unclear whether she was her Nida or Yemei Nida or Yemei Ziva, and now she waited the requisite number of days, and now she didn't see the discharge, but she discovered blood on her clothing. Okay, good. So now I'm a Nida from this day going forward, right? No. And for obvious reason. She didn't, in other words, she discovered the stain on her clothing. She didn't know when the stain got there. May have come today, may have come yesterday. She simply didn't know. Obviously, she didn't have a hargasha. So because we simply have no idea when this thing got there, and the only thing we could say definitively is that it came after the clothing was last laundered, but laundering could have been a week ago, could have been 2 weeks ago. Now, it's true if the clothing was laundered today, and then she puts on, she discovers the kesem today, so then we can have a discussion. But short of that, we simply don't know when it came. And so therefore, mikalkelos leminyana, or her count no longer, she can't use this as a starting point for her account. Umetame is bawala. And the husband had relations with her historically, so he's going to be a Baal Nida, of course, because it's a Kesem. And that means we don't know when she was a Nida, and we're going to go back historically. Now, in terms of her minyan, in terms of accounting, she only counts from the day in which she saw. In other words, we're not talking here about Pesach, we're just talking about counting her days in terms of whether she's counting her Yemei Nida, if in fact she knows she's a Nida, or counting her Yemei Ziva, it counts from the day in which she discovered it. Now, in both these circumstances, for all of our retroactive discussion, we're not going to actually burn the truma. We're not going to actually burn the kodesh, but at the same time, however, tolin. We're not going to eat it, meaning it's in a state of suffik tuma, and so therefore, it practically speaking, of course we can't eat it. It just simply means that we also can't definitively say that it's tame, and we're not going to burn it.
She's a re'iyah. Why is there a suffik tuma?
Because of the Gzerah de Rabban, meaning that's exactly the 24-hour period that the Chachamim instituted.
Of the retroactive.
Okay, that is admittedly a really long brisa. I'm gonna skip it. At least I'll highlight for you. I mentioned a woman touching a kli cheres sheyesh alav tzamid psil. A nida woman coming into contact with an earthenware jug that's sealed, and she picks it up. And the Braisa says it's going to be tame. The Braisa said more than that. Even if she touched it, even if she picked it up in the last 24 hours, it's going to be tame. How do we know that? Meaning it's sealed. Why should it become tame? If it's in the room with an oil mace, it doesn't become tame. I know I'm repeating the Gemara's point of the previous Amud, but it doesn't become tame. So how come it becomes tame? So see Rashi over here. Rashi goes through the drasha. Rashi dibra amasko kli cheres mukaf. He goes through the drasha that brings us to that conclusion. Anyway, we're gonna go on in the Gemara. We have just went through an entire Braisa. And the point of the Braisa is that it substantiates the position of Rava, that a woman in the last 24 hours, retroactive to her seeing herself become a Nida, she's going to be Tameh, and not only is she going to be Tameh, but Mishkav Moshav as well. Her bed, her chair of the last 24 hours also is going to be Tameh, to the same degree as she is. V'Rava Yishmi Yilei Masnisa, Lema Masnisa. So Rava, look, you gave us a Kavachomer on the bottom of the previous Amun. It was a good Kavachomer, but you knew the Braisa. Obviously you knew the Braisa. Your whole Kavachomer is based on the Braisa. So why didn't you say over the Braisa? So the Gemara says, V'iloshmi le masisa kavachomer menale. And then here comes the catch 22. Now, if Rava didn't know the Braisa, which is possible, by the way, Mishnayos, the Gemara assumes this throughout Shas. Mishnayos, Amoraim knew every Mishnah. Meaning, because it's you know, as far as Torah Shabbat is concerned, it's canon. The Mishnayos everyone knew. The Braisa's, on the other hand, it's possible. Amor didn't know a Braisa. But if Rava didn't know the Braisa, so then he couldn't even construct his Kavachomer. Because the whole Kavachomer is built on information that was given to us in the Braisa. Notably, the case of the sealed earthenware jug. So either he knew the Braisa, but then say it, or he didn't know the Braisa, but then he couldn't construct his Kavachomer. The Kavachomer menale, la'olam shmi'ale. So he knew the Braisa. Masnisa v'im masnisa havamini, o adam o begadam. Ava adam o begadam, lo mishum hachi kama Kavachomer. And so the Gemara makes a really, really subtle, nuanced point. And that is, of course, he knew the Braisa. Otherwise, he couldn't construct his Kavachomer. However, if all I had was a Braisa, I would have said like this. If a person came into contact with the bed or a chair of a Nida of her retroactive 24 hours, that person is going to be Tamei. The Braisa says it. The Braisa says Mishkev and Moshev of the retroactive 24 hours is going to be a status of Mishkev and Moshev. But if all I had was the Braisa, I would have said that the person's Tameh, but the person is Tameh, but not the clothing that he's wearing. Meaning the full effect of Tumas Nida transmitted directly from a Nida to a person is that he becomes Tameh and his clothing becomes Tameh as well, even though the clothing didn't come into contact with her. He did. But still, that's Metame Adam Ubigadim. I would have said from the Braisa that because we're only talking about the 24-hour retroactive period, so maybe what the Chachamim did is they kind of shaved off just a little bit the degree of Tumah, where the person's Tumah, but this clothing is not Tumah. You could have said that in the Braisa. It's a little tricky. I'm not really sure why you would have said that in the Braisa. The Braisa just simply says the words Mishkav and Moshav. But anyway, Rava says, but now yet you have my Kavachomer, so now the Kavachomer teaches us that the 24-hour retroactive period is going to be the full degree of Tumas Nida, as if you touched the Mishkav and Moshav of an actual Nida. Meaning not just the 24-hour retroactive period, not just the actual Nida, but even the retroactive 24-hour period, the Tumah Me'es La'es, that too is going to be Metame Adam U'Begadim. That's what we gain from the Kavachomer Rava. Admittedly, it's a subtlety, but still, that's the point. I'm Rav Huna. Okay. That takes us really to the first part of today's daf. So what we have done in the first half of today's daf is that we have supported, substantiated, proven the points of Ze'iri and Rava. This 24-hour retroactive period, the Tumah Me'es La'es of a Nida, is going to have the same degree of Tumah as an actual Nida herself. Succinctly put, that's what we did in the first half of today's daf. Now, second half of today's daf, and that is a statement of Rav Huna. There are going to be two versions of Rav Huna. We're going to go this morning over the first version of Rav Huna that'll take us through the most of the remainder of today's daf, and that is as follows. Again, as I pointed out at the beginning of today's shir, what is the topic today? The Tumah Me'es La'es, the 24-hour period, retroactive, of her discovering herself to be a Nida, the scope of that Tumah. So in terms of degree, we're saying it's the same. Now we're talking about what it's going to affect. What's going to be Tumah as a result of it? Well, now, remember, a Nida is going to be Metameh Adam, Kalim, and Ochlin, and foods as well. Now, if she touches foods that are Chulin foods, so the Chulin food becomes Tameh. And now what? For you and I, it's no big deal. In other words, so we'll eat food which is Tameh. Yes, in Eretz Yisrael, there are Chumras, there are people who are stringent upon themselves not to eat food that's Tameh. I'm not talking about Bizman Hazeh. We're all Tameh Bizman Hazeh. So this, as far as what we're learning right now, this is all Torah, but not just simply not in practice. But as far as regular food that becomes Tameh, okay. So it can still be eaten. What is going to be affected and irreversibly affected, so truma and kachim. If she touches truma, the truma now has to be disposed of. If she touches kachim, same story. It's going to have to be disposed of. Neither truma nor kachim can be eaten while either one of them are tameh. Now, what we're asking and what we're analyzing is the following. We're not saying that she's in need in the last 24 hours. It's a chumra de rabbanon. It's a rabbinic stringency that the rabbis moved back her tumah 24 hours. So now within this 24 hours, we know in terms of the degree of tumah, the chacham gave her the full status of anida in terms of degree of tumah. But now we're discussing what items are going to become tumah as a result of her tumah meisais. Rav Huna is going to argue only karban, only kachim, not truma. Amar Rav Huna meisais shebenida lekodesh avalo letruma. Only for kodesh and not for truma.
Kachim is more than truma.
Now, kachim, it has a higher level of kedusha than truma. Yeah. Kachim is more sensitive to truma. And also, I would conjecture, but I'm only speculating, so just everyone beware. I could be right, but not necessarily. The possibility is that with truma also, look, this is a stringency imposed by the chachamim. If the chachamim were to impose the stringency on truma, so that would create significant loss for the kohanim. Meaning the Kohanim look for the truma as part of their diet. In other words, that's what they eat. And now because of Gzeira de Rabbanan, of this retroactive 24-hour retroactive period of Tuma, so now the Kohanim are going to be losing their food that's Hefsei Truma. So perhaps in this position of Rav Huna, which by the way, this is not going to be the accepted position, but that's for later. But within this position of Rav Huna, that could be another concern or consideration in terms of why the Chachamim only brought this tuma to Karban, but not to Truma. Okay, now, Ihachi lifnei gabei mala. So the Gemara here has got a lot of follow-up questions to this position. Question number one, what about the Mishnayos in Chagiga? Now, what about the Mishnayos in Chagiga? So if you remember, Chagiga, somewhere in the middle of the second parak of Chagiga, it basically leaves the world of Moed, and it enters into the world of Tuma Tahara. Right, you remember all the Mishnayos that discuss all the, and the Gemara, that discuss the halachas of Tumah Tahara. So it's one of those Gemaras that basically is a Gemara on Tumah Tahara. Right, we had in the first parak of Pesachim, and in the second and third parakim of Chagiga. Anyway, one of the things discussed over there are certain stringencies that you have by Karban over that of Truma. If memory serves me correct, I think the Mishnayos over there pointed to 11 differences, but that's just going on memory, and again, I could be right. But either way, numerous stringencies, chumras that you have of karban over truma, and you know what's not one of them? This discussion right over here. Why doesn't this part of the differences between karban and truma, if Rav Huna is right? So the Gemara's response is, ki katani, hechad yis le'drar d'tuma, ava hechad leis le'drar d'tuma lo katani. No, over there, we're looking at fundamental differences between Truma and Kachim, where it's not going to be by Truma, but it's going to be by Kachim. Over here, Drara de Tuma, it's not fundamental. What does that mean, it's not fundamental? Because over here, what are we looking at? The 24-hour retroactive period of Anida. That's not fundamental Tuma. That's a stringency imposed by the Chachamim. I'll read the words of Rashi. Leke Drara de Tuma de Hashta, hu de Chazai, elegzera ba'almahu. Because when is she anida? From the time that she saw. The rabbis pushed it back 24 hours. That is a chumra de rabbanan. It's a gzera ba'alma. Okay, it's a rabbinic decree. But the Mishnayos in Chagiga aren't interested in teaching us rabbinic stringencies. They were interested in teaching us fundamental differences. Okay, so that's why you're not going to hear this over there in the Mishnayos in Chagiga. Meisvei, the Gemara is going to challenge based on a braisa. Mayim metame ochel mashkin. So we're looking back at the braisa that we quote on the top of our amud. She is going to be metame food and drink. Now my love being kodesh ben truma. So now food and drink. So there's food and drink of truma. There's food and drink of kachim, right? Food and drink. Isn't that what the braisa meant? The Gemara says lo de kodesh. The Gemara says yeah, I know, but you could interpret the braisa to mean that food and drink of kodesh. Okay. Tashma. Rav Yehuda amar afishas evra sam milachol betruma. Now Rav Yehuda says, look, when should a woman do bedika? Even right after she finished eating her truma, she should do a bedika. Now, you're thinking to yourself, okay, she's going to do a bedika because she wants to see if she is a nida. But if she finished the food, you have to ask the obvious question. She did a bedika. She turns out that she's a nida. Okay, now what are we going to do with the food that she ate? She ate it. There's nothing to be done over here. So the expression of don't cry over spilled milk. Don't do a bedika over food that was already consumed. Right? That expression is not going to get off the ground. I know it. The havina by my dahava hava. And the obvious question, she ate the food already. What good is the bedika? So the Gemara says, you're right. For the food that she ate already, the bedika is not going to help. It's not. What are we going to do? She ate it already. But leftovers, any of the leftover food, now that she discovers herself to be nida, so the leftover food now is going to be disposed of. Now, Rav Huna Masne Listrov Shirayim Shibiyadeha Shebat Kasma Kishir Vest. And Rav Huna gives another suggestion. She does a bedika immediately after she puts down the food. And if you do a bedika immediately after you put down the food, now I say immediate, I'm not really sure how to give a quantitative measurement of time, but right now suffice to say that it was one after the other. She puts down the truma food, she does a bedika immediately, so then we can connect, if in fact she turns out to be a nida, we can connect her bedika to the actual food, and what comes out now is that not only is the truma going to be tamei as a suffek, it'll be tamei vadai, will burn the truma. Anyway, the Tashma Maisa Vasa, Rav Huna Masne Lisrov Shirayim Shibiyadeha Shabbat Gatzma Kashir Vest. I apologize. That's the answer to the Gemara's question. It's not another suggestion. Sorry. Okay, now I'll say the Pshat in the Gemara even better, meaning correctly. What Rav Huna now is saying is the following, meaning because the question, of course, is that if she's doing a bedik after Truma, obviously it's there to be mitame the Truma. But Rav Huna, you're saying that her me'es leis is only metame kachim, not truma. So why is she doing the bedika at all for truma? The answer is, okay, thank you. Now it just clicked. The answer is that she's doing the bedika immediately after she puts the food down. We're being metame the truma not through me'es leis, but because we're saying that because the two things were done immediately back to back, so therefore, the truma is as if it came into contact with an actual nida, not the me'es la'es of a nida. Okay, tashma. Ma'isavasa Rebbe ka Rebbe Elazar, la'achash niskar. I'm sorry, let's start again. Tashma. Ma'isavasa Rebbe ka Rebbe Elazar. Rebbe once paskined like Rebbe Elazar. Now, what happened over here? So if you take a look at Rashi on the bottom of the Amud, Rashi writes, Isha yalda she'avru aleha shalosh ono shalshloshim yom, Shalorasa. A woman gave birth. And three owners go by, three menstrual cycles go by, and she didn't see. Va'amar Rabbi Eliezer ben Masin kol isha shavru ala gimel onos daya shaita. Now, with three menstrual cycles have come and gone, and she did not see, so now she falls under the status of daya shaita, meaning that the next time she sees, she's not going to go back retroactive 24 hours. Upliga rabban ala dein daya shaita ala shavru ala gimel onos machma zikna samach lezikna so. Now, the Chachamim don't agree. They say that a woman in menopause is going to have the status, but only a woman in menopause, not these other circumstances. Anyway, so Rebbe took a position ruling like Rebbe Eliezer. Okay? And, in other words, in terms of Pesach, so he shouldn't have paskened that way. He should have paskened like the Chachamim. Fine. La'achar Shenizkar, now after Rebbe remembered, I shouldn't have paskened that way. So Amar, Kedai hu Rebbe Elazar, lismach alav b'shasat chak. So then Rebbe said, look, you're right, I shouldn't have passed in that way. But, you know, the desperate times calls for desperate measures, and these are desperate times. Now, what does that mean, these are desperate times? So if you take a look at Rashi over here, Rashi on the top of the next time, it was a famine. And so it was a famine, so therefore Rebbe said that I'm going to Paschal like Rabbi Eliezer, the more lenient approach. I'm not going to give her the retroactive 24-hour period, and that'll reduce the amount of taharos that are actually going to be tummy. Good. Ve'avinam by my la'achash and iskar, ilem la'achash and iskar, dein alacha k'rebi Eliezer l'k'rabanan. So the Gemara says, after he remembers. Now the Gemara says, what exactly is he remembering? That the halacha doesn't fall like Rabbi Eliezer? So newsflash, if the halacha does not fall like Rabbi Eliezer, so then there is never a time justifying his position, his positioning himself to go like Rabbi Eliezer. Ela k'rabanan b'shasat ha chechei hachi kavasei. Ela, so it must be that what did Rebbe recollect? What he remembered is the halacha follows like neither. It doesn't follow like Rabbi Eliezer. No one paskin on this question. Lo kamar v'lo kamar. Bekem shenizkar delav yachid palagalai ala rabim plig aleha amar kadaihu Rabbi Eliezer lismoch alav b'shasat chak. So now the halacha was not paskin. Okay, now, even though it wasn't paskin, obviously, preferentially, we should go like the chachamim, like the rabim, and not like Rabbi Eliezer. But being that they are both now tenable positions, even though we know who we really should side with, but nevertheless, a shita sayachid in a time of need, it's okay. So, iamar b'shalma l'truma hainu dahavi truma b'yimei Rebbe. Now the Gemara says, okay, now this is really a historical question. So fine, so now we have the fact that Rebbe went like Rebbe Eliezer in a time of great need. Now, during the historical period of Rebbe, it was post-Chorban, at least 100 years post-Chorban. Chorban by Sheni was in the year 70 of the Common Era. Rebbe lived in the 2nd century, right? Thereabouts, the mid towards the end of the 2nd century. So he lived 100 years post-Chorban. And so now there's no Karbanos. There's no Kachim. So the only thing that he could have been paskining over was the question of Truma. There was Truma in the time of Rebbe. So that's exactly the Gemara's point. Hainu dahavi Truma b'mei Rebbe. Ali amar lekodesh kosh b'mei Rebbe mihavai. There was no Kachim by Rebbe. So kidda ula damar ula chavre mitkan b'glelam. Hachanami b'mei Rebbe. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Obviously there was no Beis HaMikdash and there was no Karbanos. However, there were groups of people in Eretz Yisrael who maintain themselves the same rigors, the same strictures of the stringencies of Kachim. And so therefore, these people went to Rebbe and asked the question, look, we are holding by the stringencies of Kachim. And you can ask the obvious question, why are they holding by the stringencies of Kachim? So Rashi over here beautifully writes, because they were hoping for the Beis HaMikdash to be rebuilt. Right? Rashi writes, it's a beautiful Rashi. Shema yibana Beis HaMikdash be a mayhem. So the olam kodesh avu kach shemati bechomer kodesh v'kach hishnuya. Okay, I write in the Gemara in Chagiga. I heard such a pshat. Rashi says so. These people who were holding on with hope that the Beis Hamikdash is going to be rebuilt, so therefore they kept to themselves this high degree of kachim, and so therefore it could still be that we could defend Rav Huna, that the question that was posed to Rebbe about the me'es le'es was only a question regarding kachim, not regarding truma. Tashma. Let's do a couple more of these before we wrap it up today. The maidservant of Rebbe Gamliel. With the words Rebbe Gamliel, there always becomes the question, which Rebbe Gamliel? Right? We had a bunch of them. Right? The Rebbe Gamliel Hazaken, who lived during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, a subsequent Rebbe Gamliel, who quite frankly lived at the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. But anyway. She was baking kikar shel truma ben kol achas v'achas midicha yada b'mayim ubodekes, and she would be doing a bedika in between each one with the washing of the hands. Ube'achrona batka umatzah tmeya. Now the last loaf that she baked, she did a bedika, and for the last one she discovers that she's in fact a nida. Ube'az v'shalas Rebbe Gamliel, and she went to have and ask Rebbe Gamliel, of these loaves of breads, which one are tar and which one are tame? Amarlam kulam tameos. Now, Rebbe Gamliel doesn't have all the details, so right now he says, oh, you are a nida now, but of course we have to go back retroactive, 24 hours, and so therefore all the loaves that you baked are going to be tame. Amarlo Rebbe vahalo bedika haisali ben kol achas v'achas. Now she fills in a detail, an important detail. After every loaf that she baked, she did a bedika after every loaf, and she discovered with the bedika that it was only the last one that was tame. Amar la im kain he tame v'kulon taharas. Okay, so with this new information, so he realizes that, okay, the last one is tame and the first ones are tahor. Now, obviously, ketani mia kikar shel truma. So, obviously, we're talking about kikar shel truma. The Braisa says it. So, once again, this all goes back to Rav Huna. Rav Huna, you're telling me that the retroactive Tuma is only to Kachim, not to Truma. And meanwhile, here we're talking about Truma. So the Gemara's response is, my Truma, well, I'll tell you what says the Gemara. You know what Truma over here means? Truma lachmi toda. Well, it means the Truma of carbon toda. Now, Truma of carbon toda, what does that mean? We've seen this numerous times. A carbon toda is a carbon that has with it 40 loaves of bread. 40 loaves of bread, not all 40 are bread. 30 are matzah, 10 are bread, meaning of the chametz type. Of the 30, they are made up of three different types of menachos. And so therefore you have in total four different types of menachos, 10 loaves each. Of each of the 10 loaves, one is given to a kohen. And this is what's called the truma of a carbon toda, or better stated, the truma of the lachme toda. So that means that every time a carbon toda is being brought, four of the loaves are given over to the kohen. The trumas lachme toda, ba'afia my baye. So the Gemara says now, what are we doing over here in terms of the baking? The afreshinu bilishaihu. So the Gemara says is that while she was kneading it, she separated. So the Gemara says now, as far as the halach is concerned, obviously each of the four types should be made into 10 separate loaves. Nevertheless, if you took the dough and made it into one loaf, bidi ever your yotzei. Vavina ba vahabin and arbaim. Now, don't you need 40 le mitzvah? Yeah, you need 40, but that's mitzvah min amuvchar. But even if I made it one loaf, one big loaf, that would be fine. Vahabin and a freshu truma minayu. Now, doesn't she have to separate truma? So vichitem de mafresh prusa mikol chavachad. Okay, so of that one big loaf, she rips off a piece. The Gemara says echad amarachmana. No, you can't rip off a piece. The truma given to the kohen has to be a full loaf. Shelo yito la prusa. Ve'amrin da freshin belishayu. So the Gemara says, "Hachanami da'afreshin abelishai." So the Gemara says, "Okay, she was making one big loaf. Again, lechatchila she should have made 10 loaves, but she was making one big loaf before she baked it. While in the dough state, she took off part of the dough to give to the kohen. Fine. Anyway, comes out now that this entire scenario could be talking about the truma of lachmei toda, and we could still defend Rav Huna.
And that's still kadosh, right?
It's kachim. It's kachim. It's Truma in the sense that a portion of it is given to the kohen, but what it is carbon toda. It's kachim. It's from kachim. Tashma shuv ma'isa b'shiv chashem and gamliel shaisa gapa. I'm sorry. The gafa chavir shol yain ubein kol achas v'achas midicha yada b'maim ubodekes. It's a very similar scenario, but instead of talking about bread, we're talking now about wine, and she was barreling a bunch of barrels of wine. And between each barrel, she did a bedika. Uva achrona batka umata tmeim. And that last barrel, but only with the last barrel, she did a bedika, and she turns out that she's tmeim. Uva v'shala rem gamliel. And here, it's going to be a similar story. The amar la kulan tmeim. So amar la v'alo bedika haisale bein kol achas v'achas. So again, his first psak is all tmeim. Then she clarified, I did a bedika after each one. And then his counter response is, oh, you did a bedika after each one? Fine. So each one of them are going to be tar, except for the last one. Amalaim Kane, he to me have a kulan taharas. Fine. Iamar Bishlam Chada, the Kosh Vechada Truma, he Hainu de Hadra Vishaila. Now, did she need to go to Rabbi Gamaliel a second time and ask her essentially the same question? So, what the Gemara right now is wondering is, look, if one case was a case of Kachim and the other case was a case of Truma, so then I understand, right? She's knowledgeable. She understands that there are halakhic difference between them. And she realizes that even though it's basically the same scenario, but one's by carbon and one's the other one's by truma. So that's why she went back to Rabbi Gamaliel and asked him a second time. Ela iamart idiv idiv de kodesh. But if they're both talking about kachim, lama le lamahader ulishayla. So why is she going back to Rabbi Gamaliel asking him a second time something where she knows the answer to? So Meister Shaya b'shtei shvachos haya. So the Gemara says, okay, well, you don't have to assume that's one shifcha. Maybe the story that was recounted to us were actually regarding two shvachos. We're going to stop over here. In what we have done so far today, we have gone through, the first sugya of today was the Iri and Rava, the degree of Tuma of the Me'es Le'es, and what we learned together, the conclusion, the very clear conclusion of the Gemara is that the degree of Tuma of the retroactive 24-hour period is going to be the same degree as the Nida Atzma. The Tumas Mishka V'Moshav of a Nida also is going to be given to the retroactive 24-hour period. Someone touches the bed that she came into contact with of the Me'es Le'es is going to be Tamei Adam U'Begadim. That's number one. And the second point for today is that we started with Rav Huna, which took us through most of today's daf, and that is the scope of the Me'es Le'es. In the first version of Rav Huna, it's Metamei Kodesh, but not Truma. The Chachamim only made the Gzera of Me'es Le'es for Kodesh, not for Truma. We had a number of questions on Rav Huna, and so far we successfully defended Rav Huna. Stay tuned tomorrow. We get version number 2.